Mark Waid with Archie Comics and Marvel Comics, and I am, like, you want me to read this, really? I am a close personal friend of the Court of Nerds. There, are you happy? There.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to a very special Court of Nerds podcast, the only podcast brought to you by Sparrowing. No one knows what it is, but someday we'll find out. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
I'm Ben.
And our special guest this evening, the Grand Poobah, the man behind the magic that you go to every year at the DeVos, it's Mark Hodges from Grand Rapids Comic Con. Mark, thank you, buddy.
You're welcome. Hi, kids.
We have missed you around here, Mark, man. We usually catch
up with you. I've
missed you. It's been like, it's usually every 3 months we have one of these check-in chats.
Right.
It's been a long time, man, but you have been busy.
Yeah, well, we moved the offices, and my wife inherited the family farms, and now we're running this thing in a farmhouse with a population of the city of a whopping 620.
Wow.
Which makes it interesting because, you know the old saying about how when you live in a small town, everybody knows your business?
Yeah.
It's true. I go into the gas station to pick up a pop or something, and people will be elbowing each other. That's the guy who runs Grand Rapids Comic Con. Really? What's he doing here? He lives here. Really? Wow.
Why isn't he wearing his Batman suit?
Yeah, that's about it. Why isn't he in spandex? If you ever seen my body, you'd realize why I'm not in spandex. Anyway, we'll leave that alone. Sorry for the nightmares, kids. Anyway.
Listen, Mark, you've already got a bunch of great guests announced, and I want to start there. I'm going to start with these... I want to call them non-traditional guests for Grand Rapids Comic Con, but the YouTube stars have been really making a move on the con circuit.
Right.
And I love your two bookings. We've got the Harp Twins and Vegan Black Metal Chef. I listened to some Harp Twins, and I fell into a YouTube hole for like a whole day, like just clicking through all their
stuff. It's easy to do with them.
I mean, these are two very beautiful young ladies.
They're very pretty.
And they are incredible. Is harpists the right word?
Yeah.
I mean,
they're very nice too. They're a very, very nice young ladies. So
are they going to be performing, or is it going to be a discussion?
Saturday and Sunday they'll do a concert.
Nice.
We're not sure what the concerts are yet. I'm sort of hoping that they'll do one where they do like TV themes, because if you ever watch their videos, yep, you know they do a lot of TV themes. And then the second one, I'm hoping they do a metal concert. Well, metal, right, for harps. Right. You know, playing Iron Maiden and that kind of thing. So
now with Vegan Black Metal Chef, are we going to have a cooking demonstration?
Yes, we are. We're working.
Sean, that's yours.
We're actually working with the Amway to do that, which is probably one of the weirdest things they've ever done. So that's going to be interesting. And it's funny how we picked him, because I was trying to get some of the really big names on YouTube, like Markiplier and PewDiePie and all that kind of stuff. You can't get near these guys with a 20-foot pole. You just can't. They intentionally, the biggest names in YouTube, intentionally make themselves as unavailable as humanly possible. And you can't communicate with any of them. And I'm expressing frustration with this with my wife, telling her, blah, blah, blah. Can't get anyone. Who can I get on YouTube? And lo and behold, I'm watching a Vegan Black Metal Chef episode.
Right
at that moment, yeah. I have it on. My wife just points to the screen and says, get him. I was like, okay, that sounds actually sort of cool.
Good, yeah.
And we found an email address, and we emailed him, and he wrote back within just a few hours, and he's like, I've actually wanted to start doing conventions. I'd love to come.
That's awesome.
So we're going to be his guinea pig.
I'm fine with it, too.
And I think that he will be there. The Harp Twins and them are also going to do a panel on something in association with YouTube.
Okay.
I think Vegan Black Metal Chef, his thing was going to be is creating a personality that creates clicks, which he's done very, very well.
Yeah.
If you ever get to know him, he's a total nerd.
He's one of us.
There's no doubt about it. He's a total goof, total nerd, and people are going to be surprised when they meet him, because they talk to him and meet him, because he's like, thanks, man, kind of thing. Not when the camera's on, though. And once he gets in the makeup, must be some kind of power thing. Like putting on a cosplay, all of a sudden you've got something there that you didn't have before. I don't know. So, but he's an interesting guy. Yeah, and we wanted to get into it for the simple reason that, let's just be honest, teenagers today are growing up on YouTube.
Yes.
My generation grew up on early 80s cable television. The new thing like MTV and the USA Network and things that are now, been around forever. my era were new things, and that was what the progressive kids watched. And today, kids aren't watching cable TV. They're not.
No.
It's just the truth.
They're streaming everything.
They're streaming everything. It's just the truth. I personally think cable TV will be almost dead in 10, 15 years unless they find another revenue stream.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to be around much longer. I really don't.
No, we as a house have switched. We're PlayStation View now.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, all right. You talk about cosplay. Talk about the direction things are moving. Your cosplay guests, though, are a lot of familiar names for fans of Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Well, a few. Yeah, we brought back three of them because, you know, part of the cosplay thing is finding people that are... there's more to it than just getting somebody who looks good in a costume.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And God knows there's a lot of people out there, believe me. I probably get 150 different cosplayers contacting me every year wanting to be a guest. At least 150 a year. I mean, that would be... the minimum, I think it's more than that, actually. Ranging from the Yaya Hans and the Jessica Negris to people who have 10 friends on their Facebook page. I mean, literally, I get stuff that's that tiny. Just getting started kind of people.
Yeah.
And we picked the ones we like because one, you know, the three that we picked, one is a local girl, of course, Leia Watansky, who's created, who's chaotic neutral.
Right.
And then Sweets for a Sweet, we like her because she's... not your traditional woman cosplayer.
And she's wonderful, too.
And she's wonderful.
So great with crowds, incredible with kids, and frankly, from our end, a great interview.
I was going to say, I've worked with her, Court of Nerds, and day job. She's been great every step of the way. Yeah,
exactly. You know, and that's one thing we really like about her. And, of course, Nightmage, who probably is the most prominent male cosplayer in the United States now. I mean, he's all over the place. And we brought in his partner in crime, Super Case, from Indianapolis. And she is fairly well-known regionally as well. She does the mostly the Wizard World circuit. She's done a lot of Wizard World shows. She's a regular with the Wizard World events in the Midwest. And Carmada, who is Christy Good. And a lot of normal a lot of the Comic-Con people aren't too familiar with her. But in the anime world, she's a... star in cosplay. I mean, she's won YumaCon's. And if you ever go to YumaCon, you know the cosplay there is amazingly exceptional.
If you even look at a photo gallery, that's all I've done, but it is next level cosplay.
It is next level cosplay, and she's won best costume twice, 2 years in a row. That's how good she is.
Yeah.
She's extremely good. And we're also, though, you know, we're building something a little different, and because we've talked about before the speaker series thing that we've talked about doing.
Yeah.
That may happen as soon as next year.
Wow.
One of the nice things about Grand Rapids, and, you know, I get criticism for the, you know, being involved with SMG and Ticketmaster and all those kind of things, but this is the reason you do this stuff, is because they are now pretty much sold on the speaker idea. And we're lining up all... right now, I'm lining up all the ducks, make sure everything's right. And they're even chasing investors for us on it, and then we may even have somebody already. And if that goes through, then that series will launch as soon as next year. And at that point, the show will go from... this year, we're in two buildings. We'll go to five.
Huh.
And we'll basically rent everything I can get downtown that I can get that's connected by that big hamster tube downtown.
Yeah.
We'll take literally every square inch we can get starting next year if that series launches like we think it's going to.
Awesome.
So we'll know a lot more in a month.
Let's talk. I want to know this year's number, last year's numbers, because we talked numbers before that. So how many people went through the turndials?
25. It was a 13% increase, according to Ticketmaster. Put us on the top 10 shows in Grand Rapids of everything, indoor and out. We're number 7 in the building, 10 overall. Still on the list, but we're, you know, the bottom of the list.
You're on the list, man.
We're still there.
That's right.
We are on.
And we are, in growth-wise, what Ticketmaster called with a bullet, which you know what that means in radio.
Indeed.
Means we're definitely trending up. And the 6 shows ahead of us in the building have their attendance has been sort of stagnated. While with us, we're seeing a 13% growth last year, and there's no reason, judging from initial ticket sales and the buzz and all that kind of stuff, there's no reason we're not going to do that well this year, we don't think. We think we'll be What do you think this year we'll hit 28 to 29? I'd like to hit 30 because then on a national level we have what we call, I call our big boy pants, mm-hmm. which basically means that we're a national player no matter what. But as you guys know, there's a lot of shows that inflate their attendance numbers. The difference with us is I could whip out a Ticketmaster report and say, there's the numbers.
Here's the papers.
Yeah. Here's the paper trail from the most reputable ticket service on the planet. Mm-hmm. Pretty indisputable.
Because certain guests want to see that number, right?
Yeah, we send that report out periodically.
Yeah.
Awesome. But, you know, most of the companies we work with are really, really big booking agencies. We work with Cool Waters Productions, which is owned by Derek Maki. Derek represented Carrie Fisher before she passed, of course. Represents Mark Hamill, Harrison Ford, Sigourney Weaver. Quite a few really, really
big players.
Yeah,
big
players. I can see John's knees trembling.
Yeah, right.
And and then Galactic Productions, which is Zachary McGinnis, and he represents a horde of people too. George Takei at one point. A rather significant lineup as well. So I don't have to sell anything to them because these guys have been to our show twice. You know, a lot of people would probably be surprised to know that Harrison Ford's management was roaming the show last year. He was actually there. Well, I don't think we'll ever see Harrison Ford at our event, but because of how much he costs, we won't go into that. But, you know, there's, you know, it helps, but when you start talking to newer management like bookcelebrities.com and those kind of things, they like seeing that stuff. And now, once they see a report like that, they know I'm not BSing.
Right.
You know, because a lot of shows will say, oh, we had 30,000. Wizard World, a perfect example, their Iowa show in Des Moines, they advertised they had 30,000 people. And there are pictures out there on Saturday afternoon. You can throw a baseball across the vending hall and not hit anybody.
It's like some inauguration stuff going on.
They're they're obviously grossly inflating their numbers. And they're saying 30,000, and people are like, well, where? There isn't 3,000 here. But, you know, there are companies that do that all the time. So a lot of shows inflate their numbers, unfortunately.
Unfortunately for you, I mean, without inflating numbers, you've still got a killer lineup this year. And
it's going in the right direction.
You still haven't. I mean, we're not even what we're still more than 6 months out from the show.
It's March.
Two best things we haven't even announced yet.
Right. Ooh. And I mean, you've announced some that have had a lot. I mean,
at least in my opinion,
Billy Dee Williams is already one.
Billy D.
it's already one that we are all excited about. It's funny, we're trying to figure out what kind of tournament we're going to do to figure out who gets to do Billy Dee's panel.
videotape it. It'll be entertaining.
We should videotape whatever the hell we do. Some jousting.
But I mean, let's
jousting.
I was thinking lightsaber battles was like the only appropriate
jousting
way.
With lightsabers.
I can live with that as long
meet
as John
rides
his dog, as long as Boomer is your steed,
and I'll ride River.
That's part of the fun. I have to have Sam the cat on my back while we do this. So all kinds of conditions. I mean, Billy Dee Williams is one that a lot of people are excited about. You said this panel is going to be fun. What gives you that inkling that it's going to be a good time?
With Billy Dee Williams?
Yeah.
He's a king of cool. What more do you need to know?
I know! He is the other side of the pillow.
He's the other side of the pillow, man. You ever seen Family Guy? Seth MacFarlane speaks the truth.
It's true. It is absolutely true. And here, Family Guy, I want to get into this because this was something that I think maybe surprised us, you know, the Court of Nerds last year. Some of the most popular panels that we were a part of were voice actors.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I mean, Bryce Papenbrook, you couldn't fit another person in that panel room if you had tried to.
I'm not surprised.
It was packed to burst. And now this year you got Mike McFarlane and Jason Spezak coming in.
Right.
I mean, these voice actors, part of it, you know, is, yep, it's a lot of fans just wanting them to say famous lines. But a lot of it is, how does your job work? And so, I guess, does that lead you to try to book more voice actors? Or are you still trying to just balance it out?
We're doing a little more of that than we've done. I mean, the Jason Spezak is a little interesting because, you know, he's an American voice actor. And then, of course, there's Jim Cummings, which, you know, from Disney. And one thing we haven't announced yet, but we're not going to say names yet, but we are going to host a 25th anniversary reunion of five or six cast members from Batman the Animated Series.
Oh,
that hasn't been announced yet. I will tell you, we couldn't get Kevin Conroy. We wish we could have, but we couldn't. And Mark Hamill, my God, you would not believe how much money he wanted. I could go to a BMW dealership and buy a fleet of cars for what he wanted.
I was going to say, I have some ideas based on my experience booking people for radio that's not going to be cheap.
That was not cheap.
Yeah.
But
Star Wars movies, I mean.
We're looking at a few that are really, really unusual. One of them hasn't... one of them that's confirmed hasn't done a show in 3 years anywhere in North America.
Wow.
And
cool.
It also has a very diverse resume. And there's a second one that would, if it comes through, this is the one we're waiting on, would be that person's first appearance anywhere in North America. And it would be, and it's a major voice. It's a major voice in the show that has never done a con appearance. And can't say who yet because, of course, it's not confirmed. But... so we're looking forward to that. So there's a lot more voice actor stuff to come.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I see a lot of growth in that, too, because Papenbrook, I remember walking in and watching you guys do that panel. It's like there are fans from everything that he did there. When you get people with such, like, a vast resume, I mean, you're going to get a good crowd.
Well, and Bryce even joked, he goes, Netflix has helped me out a lot by putting all of my shows on their service.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you know, and that's part of it, too, is, you know, when you get a... a person like Bryce Papenbrook, you know, they have this tremendous resume of hordes of stuff. And as we all know, there's a giant anime contingency, especially on this side of the state of Michigan, because before us, there was nothing but anime shows. There was Shotokan, there was JFAX, there was Kaizoku, and a couple other loose ends that don't exist anymore. And that was it. So, you know, it's... just one of those things where, and those kids are very, very faithful to what, you know.
They really are.
They really are. And one of the things that we do is I actually work with the anime shows that allow me to work with them. Some of the shows don't want to talk about this kind of stuff, but what we do is I tell them, you know, they actually help us in terms of picking people. Because it's stuff they can't afford or is a little too big for their britches or whatever. And, you know, and because, you know, a lot of those shows, when they're not charging for autographs, they only pay a certain amount per guest. And then, you know, with the anime field, unfortunately for those shows, the field's changing. And the fact that the anime guests have discovered comic book conventions and have gone, hey, I can get paid $3,000 guaranteed for this anime show that's going to work me to death. And anime shows are sort of known for working their guests to death. Mm-hmm. Or I can go to a Comic-Con, sign autographs for 6 hours a day, and make $10,000. Well, hell, I'm going to go make 10 grand.
Yeah.
You know, so they go and do that, and then they're only required to do one panel, and that's it. And I mean, I talked to one guy who, I won't say who, but there was one show. He did 27 panels at one show.
Are you
over 4 days? 27 panels.
That's exhausting.
Yeah, we were exhausted each day after doing like four or five. And we were just hosting.
Yeah. He was, you know, 27 panels in 4 days. I was like,
oof.
That's just ludicrous. That's over 6 hours a day. And then, of course, when he's got a break, he's signing autographs. Because all these kids are lined up waiting for him to sign pictures from 1 to 2 or whatever time it is, you know? And whatever time they give him. And that's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
No, but the thing with the anime guys is... anime in all its forms is more accessible now than it's ever been.
Right, because of all the stuff that's being dubbed. And, of course, Adult Swim had a lot to do with that, and Toonami.
Right.
Yep. They had a lot to do with that. Toonami running the more kid, well, not necessarily kid, but you know what I mean.
And now they've even moved away from that. They're doing, you know, and you've got the Samurai Jack reboot has been massive.
Right.
And even American cartoons being drawn in an anime style contributed to that because it was, hey,
correct,
this is the same kind of stuff that is anime that I was making fun of people for watching, and now I really like this.
Yeah.
Right. When it's written right, it's just like any other animation format. I mean, you know, it's one of the things about, like, say, we've mentioned the Batman the Animated Series reunion, and one of the things that makes that show so memorable was not necessarily the Art Deco style and all that. It was well written.
Yes.
The characters were well developed. You actually had sympathy for some of the villains. You understood where they were coming from. You know, and there was a development factor, especially Mr. Freeze in particular, where, you know, I love the scene where Batman's frozen upside down the first time they meet. And Batman's like, you know, he's like basically saying, I'm going to have to get, you know, Batman asks him, even if you have to kill everybody in the building to accomplish what you want. And he says, think about it for a minute. Never feel a hot wind in your face. Never be able to touch the one you love. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, I'd kill for that. And
yep.
You notice Batman doesn't argue with him because he realizes in his own way he's right.
Yeah.
Can't let him do it, but he's still right.
Exactly.
And, you know, just going at it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And when anime is written well, and some of it just isn't, but that's true with every animation style. It doesn't matter if it's Japanese or Korean or whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, it's still, when it's written right, it's good.
Yep.
Attack on Titan, one of the things that makes it work is it's well written. It's developed. Yeah. That's what makes it work. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just another violent show on TV.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And Attack on Titan, one of the ones that really, I think, kind of helped break all the way through. Because you had stuff sort out online. You've always had the Narutos, the Bleaches that had their faithful followings. But Attack on Titan was one of those that people I know, people who are in their 30s and 40s that would have said, anime's, you know, kids stuff. It's a,
right.
I had 45-year-old adults going, hey, man, you heard of this Attack on Titan? Yeah, dude. Yeah. Thanks. Welcome to the party.
Yep. Welcome to the party. It's good stuff.
It is. And when it's as well-written, when it's there's as much depth, and I love what you mentioned about Batman the Animated Series, because there's character growth from week to week. It's not just a reset every week. Mm-hmm. You have actual character growth.
Yeah, characters develop. You know, one great episode was Robin's Reckoning, where, you know, Robin gets to take down the guy who killed his parents. And that was a great episode, you know, him trying to wrestle with the moral code that they live under, mm-hmm. but the fact that this guy whacked my mom, you know? Exactly. I mean, this guy's got to go, you know?
And that's in the writing. It's, I mean, they're making each episode matter. They're making connectivity, you know? It's not just throwing stuff at the wall and hitting reset every week, like you said, and that's one of the special things.
Yeah, and that was part of the problem with a lot of the 70s and 80s shows. Mm-hmm. They didn't develop the characters very well. They just didn't. They were, you know, it was Superman good, Batman, you know, Superman good, Grodd evil, you know? Superman good, Lex Luthor evil, Superman wins fight, end of story.
Over and over.
And then hit repeat.
Yep.
And, you know, and the world is more complicated than that. I mean, it just is.
Yeah.
There's more, you know, there's a lot more to our world than just good, evil, black, white. There's a lot more to it. It's a very gray world.
Mm-hmm.
And the shows that portray that well, and I think Hollywood is learning on that, because you're seeing more and more stuff that is well written and articulated fairly well. You're seeing a lot more of it than you did, say, 10, 12 years ago.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, Mark, I've got to get into it, because this has been my favorite theme, is there's a Power Ranger every year.
Yep.
Yeah.
And this year it is one of my favorite Pink Rangers of all time.
Yep.
Catherine Sutherland.
Yep.
From Turbo, the Power Rangers movie, Power Rangers Zeo as well.
Yep, and she was the second, the Pink Ranger that replaced Amy Jo Johnson in Mighty Morphin, yeah.
And it'll be interesting, I think, to have her after this new Power Rangers reboot is out and out there in theaters. Because last year when we were talking to the guys that were there, they were saying, yeah, you know what? We've had contact with the people replacing us, the people reprising our roles. And they were like, everyone's really respectful other than the parent company. And that was the big theme.
That is probably true. I mean, I don't know about you, but I looked at pictures of the reboot and that, and I'm cringing a little bit. I got a feeling it's going to be.
I'm on.
Can I confess?
I'm on Team
You're
Mark.
You're on Team Mark. I know. Yeah.
Can I confess? It looks to me like a train wreck. But then again, I said the same thing about Kong Skull Island, and I was told I'm totally wrong.
Yeah, I'm excited to see that.
It's, well, they did with that what they should have done.
Uh-huh.
They did a 60s monster movie with a $200 million budget. Rock and roll, man. Yep. That's all it should be.
Right.
Just have Kong rip crap up for 2 hours.
Exactly.
That's, you know, create some kind of setting, and then have Kong just destroy everything. That's all the movie should be. Like any old Godzilla film.
Yep.
You know, just speaking of Godzilla.
Ooh, here we go.
We do have something that is neat, and we're not ready to say who yet, but we are bringing in, and this is exciting, and we've actually, this all confirmed, be the first show to do this on the east side of the Mississippi River. We're going to bring in two guys from Japan that actually wore the rubber suits.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know if I told you, my favorite event every year is Kaiju Christmas.
Yeah, if you're a kaiju fan, you've got to go to the show this year.
Yeah.
You have to go.
That's exciting.
Because it's going to be the only show on this side of the Mississippi River. We have two of them, and there's only four alive, so you should be able to to go through and figure it out.
Yeah.
You actually have a 50-50 shot.
You got a 50-50 shot, and we've been saying that this is going to happen. We are just waiting for the paperwork to get signed from Japan, and it's going to be an interesting panel. Because we have to also bring in two interpreters because neither one of them speak English.
Yes.
So we have to have an interpreter for the crowd for questions and then an interpreter for whatever poor American sucker, one of you guys probably, will have to do the interview because it's you're going to have to, you know, you do it in English and it has to be transferred into Japanese and then they answer you in Japanese, then they transfer it back to English.
Yeah.
And but there's only three shows in the whole country that are getting this tour.
That's awesome.
And we're one of them.
Yeah.
And it's something I worked on for 2 years. And so we're really excited about that. We're not ready to announce it yet formally, but
hey, it's marked.
It's 99.9% done.
It's teaser time.
Hey, all the terms are agreed on.
That's
and
awesome. I could check that
we're
off
excited,
my reporter bucket list to do an interpreted interview.
There you go.
It's yours, man. It's all yours.
That's going to be a tough one, but I think it's also going to be, it'll be a lot of fun, too. And for people who are Godzilla fans, this is a rare treat.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't come to the United States. You know, they just don't. And it's very unusual. And generally speaking, if they do go, it's a very specialist monster-style convention. And, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, we got this over G-Fest.
That's
and,
awesome.
You know, and that's a Godzilla specialty convention. I worked hard on this. So we're excited about that. And we'll announce in a couple weeks once we have the paperwork and all that done. So
well, that's why people have to make sure to like you guys on Facebook and follow you on Twitter.
Yeah.
Because that's, legitimately, other than our little mole inside of your organization who gives me a few tips every now and then.
Who's that?
I'm not gonna out my mole.
Oh, okay. I don't care.
Deep cover.
Deep cover mole.
Okay, I don't care about moles. That's fine. There's nothing.
No, we got
probably Brittany, but that's
all
right.
Brittany. Yes, it is Brittany. Yeah, it is.
Caught you, Brittany.
Gotcha. No, I get most of my news by following you guys on Facebook. I have it set so that I get an alert whenever you post anything, man. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, I saw that one today. The pro cosplay stance. You got what was it? The Tampa convention said no cosplay.
It's a convention in Florida. It's a small show, a few hundred people, but boy, do they raise a stink.
Yeah.
And they basically just banned cosplay from their show completely.
Yeah.
And my personal thought is that's ridiculous. It's one of the most important elements of the event because you've eliminated that fantasy kind of aspect of the show. You know, even something as stupid as you're standing at the urinals in the bathroom and you got Deadpool peeing in one side
That's
of you
amazing.
And Indiana Jones peeing on the other. I mean, you know, where do you create that? You
Every
know?
Con
I mean,
I
as
go
stupid
to.
As that sounds, yeah. you know, I mean, but you know, it's part of the fun of it, you know, and you go into the main lobby and there's a bunch of guys dressed as the Avengers doing a photo op kind of thing. Yeah. Where do you see this stuff? Nowhere.
Right. You had the full cast of Street Fighter last year at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
That was awesome, too.
Those guys are actually friends of mine from high school.
That's awesome.
Super nice dudes.
Yeah, and that's part of the fun of it, and I don't understand why a show would eliminate that. I can understand some restrictions, you know, because, you know, you get some cosplayers that want to do some crazy stuff.
And they were like weapons and stuff. Yeah, exactly.
I think the dumbest thing I ever heard was someone wanted to do some kind of costume and had a tank in his back. And he wanted to make sure it was authentic, so he asked if he could bring a propane tank.
Oh, that's great.
Filled.
That's
and then he actually had a prop connected to it. It was like, no.
No.
I don't even want to know what you want to do.
Use those things inside your head, people. Use them.
In the brain.
That's right. That's right. And you know, and then, of course, we had the baseball bat controversy last year. Yeah. That's not going to change because basically what it boiled down to is real simple. The Grand Rapids police told us, no baseball bats.
Yeah.
We see them, we're going to consider them as weapons, we'll arrest the cosplayer.
And there you go.
And be sure you're checking
gmcomiccon.com
for these rules.
Sure. Yeah. And if you want to get arrested, if you want to have a record for carrying a concealed weapon, you want to have your life ruined because you don't want to interrupt your Harley Quinn costume.
So that's up to you.
That's up to you, but I'd heavily not recommend it.
We've given you the warning.
Yeah.
Whether you choose to heed it or not, that is on you.
Because the Grand Rapids police are right at the front door. Every show. Mm-hmm. And the reason we do that is because of safety for everybody.
Right.
Because you know, especially in today's world, you never know if someone's going to walk in mm-hmm. with a bomb strapped to them, scream some crazy phrase, and boom, you know. Right. You never know. And you hate to say that, but it's just the truth. I mean, we had the bomb scare last year.
Yeah.
And it's just a 13-year-old kid. You'd hear about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. And, I mean, the bomb squad, from what I understand, they couldn't believe it, because there they are looking at this. And this kid just unstraps the bag, puts it on his back, walks out the door like nothing happened. And the cops are like, what the hell is this? It's just action figures, man. Oh, God. Don't leave your backpacks unattended, for God's sake.
Keep it on your damn back.
Oh, bring it into the panel with you. Don't strap it to a pole.
Oh, my God.
I aged 10 years in a minute. Jeez.
It was tense. I remember that. Like, we were trying to figure out what was going on.
No, I think we were up in the upstairs little.
Yeah, there was just this, like, sudden rush of panic. And we were like, what is happening?
What did Grant do?
What did Grant do?
What did Grant do?
Was likely our initial reaction. Because I think he and Greg were doing the Ren and Stimpy panel.
They were.
And we were like, what did they do? Oh, God, what's happened? Mark's never. We're gonna invite us back. We're gonna be pariahs. And then it was like, they're like, someone's like, no, there's a bomb scare. And I grabbed my 9-year-old and I was like, you come over here, you stay right here, don't you? Yeah. You
I'll block the blast.
Yeah. Yeah. My giant body will shield you.
There you go. And it's just,
yeah.
I mean, but the band cosplay completely from a show, going back to our original point,
yeah,
is pretty ridiculous. And, you know, in the field right now, there's a lot of. I don't know. I mean, there's forums for idiots like me who, you know, convention heads. There's actually several forums, believe it or not. They do exist on Facebook. And all we do is sit down and not necessarily talk about all you fans, because a lot of the times we're not. We shake our heads at each other and go, what was that idiot thinking? You want some entertainment. You want something really entertaining. Go online and look up Outlaw Comic Con. It is a new show in Texas.
Oh, of course.
Which is basically run by the equivalent of a bunch of frat boys.
Shocking.
And they are posting some of the dumbest sexist crap. Jeez. And their fan base is just destroying them. And then what do they do to make it better? They go on a whole ton of far right pages, which of course is a wonderful place to be, rolling my eyes in the back of my skull, and then telling all these far right loons, hey, go on my page and pick on this idiot. So all these, you know, people who think Donald Trump can do no wrong, and various other far right loons,
yeah,
and there are far left loons too, but you know, far right loons, you know, in this case, and they're going, you know, and then he has them, all these cosplayers fighting with all these
people who think cosplayers are furries. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And it's like, oh my God. And then this show, to top it off, they it's a first year event, so they're either creating a bunch of controversy to sell tickets, or they have no clue. I'm guessing definitely the latter. And then they're charging artists triple what we are for an Artist Alley booth.
For a first-year show.
First year event. And literally over twice, you know, Wizard World rates for vending hall space, and just ludicrous. It's just, and they're doing a lot of other stuff too. Plus, you know, it's funny because they put up their Artist Alley page and they spelled the word artist wrong 3 times. So they honestly thought that artist was spelled with what was it, 2 E's?
What?
There are 2 E's in it. It's A-R-T-E-I-S-T-E. They spelled it that way 3 times.
That's, hopefully they're not frat boys, because if so, that college education went to waste. But, you know, it's...
I would agree. But there's a lot of other stuff like that, too. I don't know if you read about Rewind Con in Chicago, where it was a 80s, 90s nostalgia show. So it's geared toward my age group, my demo.
Right.
And they had a cast reunion of Beverly Hills 90210, and they had a... it was definitely not geared toward your traditional nerd.
Right.
It was geared toward your 40-something woman
Okay.
A lot of the reunions were shows like that. They had a couple minor cast members from Friends, minor ones, not any of the major.
Right.
Not any of the major six. And there were a few other shows, Home Improvement, they had a couple people, yes. And the show bombed hard, and then they didn't pay their bills and screwed a ton of celebrities and this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, and I read about all this stuff, and it sort of gives things like what I do a bad name.
Yeah.
Because they're not, you know, they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing, you know, and that's part of why we have an investor group and this, that, and the other thing, because we want to make sure that if something weird happens, we have a horrible weather storm or whatever, we can at least slide through the show in one piece and then go from there.
Right.
You know, because I don't want everyone leaving and having a, you know.
Leaving a bad taste in their mouth.
It doesn't take much to destroy an event like this. It takes years and years of work to build it and minutes to kill it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take, especially today.
Yeah.
When you got all the social networking, because all you have to do is just do something really, really stupid, and before you know it, you got 10,000 people talking about you on Twitter.
Yeah. But I'll say this, you guys have done better than, I would say, any con that I've seen, any con that I've interacted with, at preventing stuff like that outlaw thing you were talking about in Texas, the sexist, the what we would probably refer to as the bro douche.
Oh, it's definitely bro douche. That's very fair.
Yeah.
And very fair.
You guys have, I mean, outside of yourself, the majority of your staff is female. The majority
that's
of your
true.
Staff.
About two-thirds.
Yeah. And one of the things that
makes
I've actually
very unusual.
Talked with Brittany about significantly is this strange thing. And one of our mottos here at Court of Nerds is there's no such thing as a fake nerd girl. There's,
no.
It's not a real thing. There are girls who are trying to learn more about nerd culture who might not know something.
Right.
But you don't have to know the second writer of Superman's third arc
exactly.
to be a nerd.
No.
You know?
I don't even know who that is.
No, I couldn't off the top of my head tell you.
I'm sure Grant knows.
Grant, well, Grant is the
But that's outlier. Grant's nerddom, so that's okay.
Yeah, that's his thing, you know? He could tell you when Jimmy Olsen originated. But, you know, you've got people in this community, in this nerd community, who will still walk up to Emily, you know, one of our Court of Nerds members, and ask her if that's her boyfriend's Court of Nerds shirt that she's borrowing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
And, you know, or people that will try and question, you know better, Brittany's probably a bigger nerd than the three of us in this room combined.
That's probably fair.
Her fandoms are ridiculous and widespread.
And diverse.
Yeah.
She's very diverse.
So, you know, it's this thing that I've loved so much about working with you and working with Grand Rapids Comic Con is it's this, we embrace everyone.
I try to.
Whatever your fandom is, there's something for you at Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Right. And there's also one thing that's nice about it, too, is we have a diverse age group, too. Not everybody is 21, but not everybody's 60 either.
Right.
You know, I'm the old fart at 50. 50.
Let's say 50. 50's
no, it is actually 50.
Well, congratulations, sir.
Yeah. Well, 51 in June. But but we also have Hannah Troop, who's been with us for a year now, and she's only 22. I mean, she's a baby compared to me. You know, and she contributes just as much as anybody else. And, yeah, the staff, that's actually something I've been trying to convince the women's magazine in town to do, is do a piece on the women of the show.
Yeah.
Not have me anywhere near the interview. Just do it all with the women of the show.
Because that piece in sleep. Hashtag nerd girls. There's your piece.
Yeah, you look at our departments, and there's six departments, and four of them are run by women. It's not like the women are on the side baking cookies and washing her underwear or anything. You know, it's nothing like that at all.
Right.
I mean, we got a saying in the at the meetings. And some people may not understand this, but when I explain it, I say I'm a firm believer in equal rights. Every woman in the shop can lift a 50-pound box just like a guy can. And basically what that means, and everybody understands what this means, is a woman can do any job in this show that a man can.
Yeah.
I'm not going to discriminate on anything. I mean, you know, when I say that, I don't mean it. Literally. I mean, if the box is too big for a 100-pound woman to lift, don't lift the dumb box.
Right,
you know,
go find Drew's gigantic ass recorder.
Go find somebody else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. But, you know, I mean, just, you know, I don't even think about the sex aspect of it in terms of, you know, a person's sex or their gender. I don't think about it. It's not that important to me. The only thing about our group that we've noticed, and I don't know why, is it's a very white, pale bunch. And I openly admit that.
Yeah.
We just brought on Avi Forstein, though, who runs Geeks Who Drink.
Yeah.
And he's Jewish, and that's about as diverse as that area gets right now. And I don't know why, because we've asked several people of, you know, color to be involved, and I always get no's. I don't know why.
Huh.
It's not like we haven't tried. I don't know why. I don't have a clue. Just asking the wrong people. I have no idea. One guy we wanted to bring on moved to New Orleans, and he decided instead of moving over here, I was asking him to move over here from Flint. And he definitely wanted out of Flint.
Yeah.
But he decided to go to New Orleans instead of coming here. Not sure why, he just did. A couple other people have just told me point blank, no, I'm not going to do that. You know?
Yeah.
I'd rather just go enjoy the show, and I can't blame people for that.
Right.
But, you know, we don't have any real problem finding people. So, but that's just one of those weird little things. But, you know, yeah, but the staff is like 65% women.
Yeah.
And if you look at Comic-Cons around the country, that's unusual.
It is, and that's why I bring it up when we talk about it, is most of the Comic-Cons you look at, the staff is 85% men.
Sausage Factory.
Dudes that look like us.
Dudes that, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe less handsome than us.
There you go.
No, I'm hideous.
If there was only a camera in here, these guys have a face for radio.
It's true. Anyway. That's why I do what I do and why I do it
so
well.
So I have a face for radio, too. So
that's right. Why my Facebook profile picture is actually a drawing of me. It's not really
perfect.
Me.
Perfect. Yeah.
So, listen, Mark, we appreciate catching up with you whenever you have time for
us.
Of course, we'll connect again soon. And I'm gonna put you on the spot a little bit here. Can we officially announce, are we back? Are we your moderators?
You're coming back.
We're coming back!
Yeah, you're coming back.
Yes.
We just have to, with the sponsorship,
yeah.
As you know, we've got three radio companies that want to sponsor the show this year.
And iHeart
definitely has their hat in the ring on that. And, I mean, the TV one I've already decided has got to be the CW, because CW is nerd TV now.
Yep.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, literally, all the 8 o'clock programming is nerd TV.
Yep.
And a lot of the 9 o'clock programming now is becoming nerd TV between iZombie, Supernatural, and the show I never thought would be a hit, Riverdale.
Right?
I was like, One Tree Hill in the Archie universe, right? That's gonna work real well.
Plus, noir murder. Like, you made Archie into a sexy crime noir show,
right?
Like, how have you done this? How
and
is
it works.
Working? Yeah,
it works. That's the thing that's amazing. But again, you go back to good writing.
Yep,
and that's what it boils down to. That show, unlike your One Tree Hills and Dawson's Creek and those kind of things, you know, where they had the sappy teen drama kind of
right.
thing. But in this case, it works because they wrote it well. And that's what makes it interesting.
There we go. Well, we'll hammer out the details outside of the podcast.
We'll hammer that out.
We'll
I just
got to
figure out who the radio sponsor is going to be at this point. I'm definitely leaning toward iHeart, but that doesn't mean it's going to be iHeart.
Well, you know, don't worry. We play nice with others, I promise.
Yeah.
We play nice with everybody.
So I have to figure out who's going to be, I got to figure all that out. And I'm going to be working on that next month. That's one of my main projects in April.
No worries at all. We just want to know we will be there, and we are very happy about
yep.
it.
Yep.
Look for more details on GR Comic Con's Facebook page. Of course, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. We are your Court of Nerds. Mark, we'll have you back in a couple of months, do some updates, talk about what's going on.
Sure thing.
Maybe we'll even drag Brittany in here with you next time.
That'd be fine. I don't mind if other staff members are here.
That's wonderful. All
I
right,
don't have
go.
A problem with that in the least. Matter of fact, I almost prefer it.
Right.
Well, then they can put in their two cents, too, because everybody hears my viewpoint on it, and they think that, oh, it's another show run by guys, and the truth of the matter is that's just not true. I just happen to be the head because I'm the one writing the dumb checks. But outside of that, it really isn't. I mean, you know, like I said, we've got 6 departments and 4 of them are run by women. And a lot of their assistants are women. And
let's talk to some of those women next time.
That'd be fine with me.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. We'll set it up. Mark Hodges from Comic-Con. Of course, we are your Court of Nerds. I'm Drew.
I'm John.
And I'm Ben.
I don't know how else to end that.
Do you like the sound of our voices more than we do? Well, make sure you listen to the podcast on thecourtofnerds.com. Also be our friends on Facebook because we need everyone we can get. And follow us on Twitter because occasionally we retweet fun stuff.